Scripture reading for this morning comes to us from Luke, the second chapter, Luke chapter 2, reading the first 20 verses. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Thus far, the reading of Scripture. And our text passage is from this reading, verses 15 through 17. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And what follows through verse 17. Congregation, one of our last messages we meditated on the announcement that was made, the birth announcement, which contained the very best news. That was the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to today meditate on the response of the shepherds to that announcement. And we'll look at the shepherds go to Bethlehem. We first see a gospel invitation, secondly, a believing response, and thirdly, a Savior is found. We find in this passage especially in the announcement of the angels, that the shepherds are given a special invitation, a gospel invitation. There's a glorious announcement, the good tidings of the birth of Jesus Christ. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. A glorious announcement, one that contains enough material to preach a number of sermons on, containing many things. What a glorious fact was announced, and what a privilege that these shepherds were, of all the shepherds in the world, and of all the people in the world, were selected to hear this announcement. But it is an announcement that came to them with a very personal address. And it is an announcement that they had a personal interest in. It is one thing to hear about the birth of a child. But if someone says, you have received a daughter, or you have received a granddaughter, or a grandson, it has certainly a personal interest. And notice that the announcement came to these shepherds, unto you is born. And so heaven intended the announcement to be directed to them with the knowledge that they had a personal interest in this birth. They were among those who are described as looking for consolation in Israel. They were among those who looked for salvation in Israel. They were among those, including Simeon and Anna and Joseph and Mary and Zacharias and Elizabeth, who were pleading the promises of the Old Testament and looking forward to that promise being fulfilled. And now the Lord says to them, unto you is born. And in this they receive the confirmation of the fulfillment of the hopes of their heart. And it is not only an announcement that addresses them with personal interest, but it is also one that has a personal invitation, a personal invitation in this announcement, where the angels tell the shepherds, you shall find the babe. So the implication in you shall find is a personal invitation. If you tell someone, you will find our house on such and such a street and at such and such a number, and you just go by, there's implied an invitation in that. And so also these angels are implying the invitation, come to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, come to this stable. You will find him there lying in a manger. And so the invitation goes out to them. What a blessing it is to hear such an announcement. And yet the gospel comes to us in this way as well, doesn't it? The gospel comes to us not simply as an announcement that a Savior has been born. A Savior has come and he has ministered upon earth and he has died upon the cross and he has been buried and he rose and he is gone back to heaven. It is not simply an objective announcement about a fact. I trust the reason why you're in church is because you are interested in this announcement. And so the announcement may be addressed to you, a Savior has been born. And you also may find him as you go to him. No, not making a trip to Bethlehem or any geographic place, but by going to heaven in prayer, by going to him in your heart, by going to Him, pleading upon the promises of the Scriptures, and trusting in Him, you shall find Him. And so the question is, now what happens after the invitation is extended? The angels have gone away. The fields of Ephrathah are now darkened. What do the shepherds do? Do they say to each other, "Oh, we need a couple more logs for the fire. Do you have any food left in your knapsack?" No, those aren't the things they say. The test comes, you see, after the gospel is delivered as to what we would do with the message. What do they do? Well, we see here an account of a believing response. The authoritative declaration of the gospel message came to them. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the gospel. They listened to the message, they heard it gladly, and they believed it. They had hearts that were good soil. The seed of the word fell in. Now, how do we know that this is a believing response? And as we think of this, how do we know whether our hearts have responded in faith to the gospel message? Well, let us put our hearts to the test as we observe various marks of this faith in these shepherds. First of all, there was an intense interest. There was an intense interest in the message of the Savior. They listened with bated breath as they heard. And they were able, we know from later account in this passage, they were able to retell all the things that were told them. So they listened intensely. They drank it in. They printed it on their memory. There was an intense interest in the message. The fact that they would say, "Let us go and see this thing, it shows that there was an intense interest in it. But secondly, there was a deep conviction concerning the truth of it. They were not simply interested in it like you might listen to some Christmas story, knowing that is all a fable or that is all some fictional account, and spellbound you listened and then, "Oh, that was a cute story." No, they listened with interest and they believed all that was said to them. They believed it as truth. Notice when the angels have gone to heaven, they are not responding as skeptics or critics. They do not say, "Oh, well, yeah, sure. Yeah, let's go to Bethlehem and see if this is really so." No. The way they put it is, "Let us go and see. Let us see it. This thing that has come to pass, that has happened," they believe what they have heard to be the truth. Now they heard it from angels, but what do they say about what they have said? They have heard is what the Lord has made known to us. They believe this came to them with divine authority, with the authority of heaven. The Lord Himself has made known these things. It came with authority from heaven. So we see that they listened with interest, with conviction. They listened also with mutual encouragement. "Come, let us now go even unto Bethlehem." And it is not so that these men were only concerned about themselves. They were fellow believers in this group, and they were concerned about each other. They were not individualists. And today we are being told that we should be individualists in our faith. You have your faith, have it privately, have it in your own house, have it in your own heart, but don't express it to others. That's not what the Bible tells us. These men engaged in mutual encouragement. The one who believed first did not stand up and simply say, "Well, you guys sort it out for yourself, but I'm going to Bethlehem." No, they said to each other, "Let us go. Let us all go. Let us all go and see." And it is such a blessing to be together in the congregation of those who believe and to stir up one another, to encourage one another with the words of faith and to go together in prayer to the Lord for His mercy. What a blessing it is to be an encouragement to one another. Fourthly, we see that there is a desire for a personal experience of what has been declared. A desire for a personal experience of what has been declared. Now, it is not so that personal experience is in this case made the prerequisite. Let us go and see, and then if we see, well, seeing is believing. I'll believe it when I see it. Or I believe it when I experience it. No, they believe. And therefore, they desire to see. The gospel order for visual confirmation is that we believe the word because God has spoken it. But we also desire to experience the power of it in our heart. And we desire to go to the Lord's Supper to receive the visual confirmation that He has given upon faith. They desire to see because they believe. Not in order to believe, but because they believe. We desire to experience God in our hearts as one whom we know is living. We know He lives. We know the Savior reigns in heaven. We know the Spirit works. But what a blessing it is to experience in your heart the confirmation of that. A fifth evidence of this faith of the shepherds that confirms that they truly believed is their hasty coming. They came with haste. Can you understand their zeal? Can you understand their sense of urgency? If for 400 years no prophecy has come that they know of, and now God sends a message from heaven and tells them the Messiah has been born, can you understand that there would be an excitement and a desire, an urgency? They came hastily. How dangerous it is to postpone gospel obedience. If the Lord Jesus stands before you as He does through the Scriptures and says, "Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to Me and receive living water. Oh, everyone who is weary, come and I will give you rest." If you are such a weary one, it is dangerous to postpone obedience to the gospel invitation. These shepherds came with haste. And what was the result? They found. Well, how did they find? Well, we know in general that they must have come to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, and found as a result of the providence of God, that God led them. But we know also that the Lord had promised, "You shall find." And so the promise of God was there. And it may well be that because there was the mention of the manger, that they they were assisted. That was probably the best help in the way. They were told, "You shall find the babe lying in a manger." And as shepherds, they knew what a manger was, and they knew where to find the manger. This was a help to them. They came to the city, and they found, in fact, the very place. And what did they say in the stable when they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger? We aren't really told. It would have been nice, we could imagine, to have heard the conversation between the shepherds and Mary and Joseph. And what did the angel say to you? And what did the angel say to you? And they comparing all the things that were told. But we're not told. Our very personal experiences are sometimes best kept quiet. But the important thing is, what is the fruit of our faith? What happened when these shepherds left the stable? We're told that they made known in verse 17 abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. They spread it to everyone. They made known not so much their own experiences, but they made known the sayings of God. They made known what God had told them concerning this child. They made known that announcement, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." You might say they started the whole practice of publishing the news of the birth of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful message that was. We don't know how many people responded, how many people came to the Bethlehem stable to see this baby. But we do know that the Lord Jesus is to be proclaimed throughout all the world. And if we have heard and if we have believed this gospel message, then we also are called to make known abroad the saying that was written. And as we do, may the Lord grant that our hearts also may be warmed by the message, and that many may come to faith and come to know the Savior. Amen.